Performing Arts of Woodstock is a not-for-profit, year-round local theater organization presenting new and established plays since 1964. Celebrating their 50th anniversary this year, PAW is the oldest continually running theater organization in the history of Woodstock. Their production of Eugene O'Neill's A Moon for the Misbegotten runs through the 2nd of March. It was to close this weekend, but they've extended it because they're all having so much fun and they want you to come see it. We are joined now by Nicola Shira, who is the director of A Moon for the Misbegotten, and Kimberly Kay, who plays Josie Hogan in the show. Thank you both for being here. A great pleasure.
Thank you.
To be here.
So tell us, Nicola, how this all came to be.
Well, because it's the 50th anniversary and Performing Arts of Woodstock has never done an O'Neill play, and because he's considered the father of American drama, we decided to do Moon for the Misbegotten, which was his last play, the last play that he wrote before he died. It's the sequel to Long Day's Journey Into Night, which he forbid from being performed while he was alive.
Mm.
So Moon and Long Day's Journey were written before he died, of course, and performed after he was dead.
And which I guess is sort of says a lot, doesn't it, about the show and about him?
It says that, well, the first one, particularly Long Day's Journey, is totally autobiographical. This play contains his brother, Jamie, and he's kind of resolving his understanding of Jamie through having written this play, coming to grips with the death of his entire family at one time and within a 3-month period. And he had a long mourning period, and he worked it out. First with Long Day's Journey, and then with Moon, the Misbegotten.
Tell us about the character of Josie Hogan.
Josie is a farm girl. She speaks with an Irish brogue. She has emigrated from Ireland, but come to Connecticut, which is where the play actually takes place. Although the character of Jim Tyrone, which is O'Neill's brother, she constantly refers to him as coming from Broadway, New York. She's infatuated with this idea of Broadway, New York. So she often mentions that. Josie is a much larger woman than I am, so it's been very interesting to play her as an actor. And she has little self-confidence, which explains a lot about her relationship with Jim Tyrone and her relationship with her father and in the world in general. She's put up a lot of fences and walls by creating a character for herself that is actually a lie that's revealed in the play. And she has a very fun, interesting relationship with her father, who she's probably going to live with forever and never marry. And she's been really a challenge and a delight to play, and I've learned a lot about her and myself while doing it.
And that is something that you can say that happens with a great play, a great playwright, that both for an actor and for an audience member, that you come in and it allows you to explore avenues that you never thought you could explore.
Absolutely. O'Neill is really challenging.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's challenging for not only actors, but audiences. So as an actor, I want to embody the character as much as I can, to give the audience an experience that they won't forget, certainly.
Yeah.
But yes, I found depths in myself that I didn't know existed, which is very interesting as an actor.
Well,
I knew they were there.
Aww.
That's why.
Yeah. But there's so much meat to explore, right?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
so much there on the bone to go after.
Absolutely.
So as a director, is there a balance, or do you just say, let's attack it all?
Well, you have to attack it all because you're dealing with it all. The
yeah.
first part is sort of a broad country comedy, the first act, and then it gets darker and darker
yeah.
as you meet Jim Tyrone. And it's really Josie's understanding of death
mm-hmm.
and coming to grips with herself and who she is. And so that's it's really her story.
Mm.
And it's been wonderful working with Kim. It always is.
Nicola, and you too. We've worked together a lot, actually.
Just a brief interruption. The next play for Performing Arts of Woodstock is Importance of Being Earnest, and it opens March 28th. They'll kill me if I don't mention it.
Well, yeah.
And after that, it's Clybourne Park by Bruce Norris, and that opens May 30th. And information is on the website.
I love both those shows.
Yeah,
they're fun.
That's really great. So are you? Do you have anything to do with those?
No,
you're out.
I'm going to direct Richard III for Bird on a Cliff this summer. So
oh,
I'm
wow. So you're
going
to be... that was a light little piece of work to take up after this one.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful in what you all have been able to do, and it speaks volumes to the community as a whole that an organization like this, Performing Arts of Woodstock, has been able to stay around for 5 decades.
It's really due to our fearless leader Edie Lefevre. She's really kept it running for 50 years. She's a
amazing.
Little guy with a lot of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's great. And you have the audiences to support it and come in and to see this work.
Well, we hope more of you come.
Indeed we do. Yes, it's at St. Gregory's Church on Route 212 in Woodstock, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 and Sundays at 2 p.m. And it's quite an adventure.
Yeah.
Just getting into the parking lot is an adventure.
Yes.
So it starts right there. Yeah.
So you need an O'Neill play just to forget that. And then once you've parked the car and you're in.
No, it's grand.
But I also like that you're not, some companies would be maybe not afraid, but certainly less willing to take on something that is challenging and is, isn't the most... uplifting, let's say.
I think this is uplifting because she comes to grips with many things. And I think
It's not like a zippity-doo-dah kind of thing.
No, it's not. It's not a money spinner.
Right.
No.
It's a dysfunctional love story. But in the end, Josie comes to a peaceful place, I think, after all of her angst and sadness and her acceptance of where her life is and that she couldn't save Jim Tyrone, but she made a difference in her moments.
Can I just read this little thing by Joseph Woodcrutch, which was written in the 30s? And he says that O'Neill's central theme is the effort to transform into some peace-giving beauty the crude and obvious fact that life is vivid and restless and exciting and terrible. Mm. And it seems really true.
Yes.
What's that lovely line you have about finding peace?
It's towards the end. She says to him, the very last line of the play is, and it sounds dark, but she says, "May you have your wish and die in your peace soon, Jim darling, and may you rest forever in forgiveness and peace."
So he's still doing this. Was written in 1937, and he's still working that out for himself.
Yeah.
Or he was. He's not doing much now. But.
Well, who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
I think he's with you all. I think probably still working it out. How much do you have to get it and fully understand before you go into this? I guess I'm interested into sort of the preparation before you even start the rehearsals.
The process, we've been working on it for a while now because it is so intense. And we did something a little differently than is normally done. We spent a lot of time discussing it. We very much understood the words and the backstory. And normally, particularly in regional community theater, there's such a short rehearsal time that you go right in it. You have a table read, you start the blocking, you're in it. We spent a lot of time asking why this line is said. What does it mean? And it's important with O'Neill because he's known for the beauty of his words. And so there was an awful lot of time of just talking and understanding. And an interesting thing about it is, of course, there's so many lines. I'm going over them constantly, even now, even though we're in production. And I found something the other day. There's a lot of references to Josie having a beautiful soul. She believes it's because she's an ugly girl, girl. But I realized that there's other references to her beautiful soul that I hadn't even caught before. I mean, there's so many new things that I find at every performance. It's wonderful.
Because there's a point where obviously you're learning the lines and their words, and then they suddenly take meaning and shape. And you internalize them more. So I think that discovery continues, goes on and on.
It really does. It's a beautiful process.
As a director, I like to spend a lot of time asking them why they're saying what they're saying. I think it's important to know those things before you get up on your feet and before you start learning your lines and to understand. And that changes as you go on. It keeps developing. As Kimberly says, first of all, the audience gives you new information each night. So the performance changes and grows. And as Kimberly says, you keep finding new stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why Edie does these wonderful plays and difficult plays. She doesn't go for the easy stuff.
Right. I think is brilliant and wonderful because it's great. Because also that we're exposed to this material that some of us have to read as opposed to seeing to be performed, which is such a special experience because it's how it was meant. Obviously.
When I just read the play in the beginning, I didn't enjoy it as much as I did once it was on its feet and the actors are giving life to these characters. Right. It's a very different experience than just if you had to read O'Neill in school. Seeing it staged and seeing someone's take on Josie, for example, is a very enriching experience.
As a director, I was very moved just reading it. I wept. As we got into rehearsals, I'm more concerned with the problems of getting it out to the audience.
There's the technical side of it.
So I had more of a reaction to it just reading it.
But you said something that struck me as to asking these questions to the actors. Right. And do you know the answers, or are you interested in hearing what they have to say to discuss it?
Sometimes I know the answers, but I don't want to give them the answers. Yes. I want them to find the answers. So I'll always ask the questions. And then if they're stuck, I'll just keep asking until they come up with it. Because if I lay it on them, if I give it to them, it's not real. It's come from me instead of from them. And I want it to be from them, from their understanding and from their connection with the character. So that's the way I like to work. People work differently.
You seem to, you've been on the show many times, you like taking on these big projects. I mean, Richard III, for goodness sakes. I mean, there's big projects.
That's an easy one, too.
You like that.
I do like that. I like the small ones, too. I run a reading series, and I do all kinds of plays.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're exciting.
And because there's that collaboration. There's that wonderful thing where everybody comes together. Yes, you mentioned the audience, but before we get there,
From your lips to God's ears. it's a collaboration, yes.
And I'm curious as to Kimberly in playing a role like this, as you say, you mentioned this, and I sort of let it go about changing you, I would think that roles do that over time because you think of new things, and it's sort of a maturing process as you go through the grand repertoire, if you will.
It is. I've been an actor all my life, and one of the things I love is finding something new, even weeks, months, even a year later when the play is done, I'll think, oh, wait a minute, that's what that line meant. And it's so remarkable to me. Every day, I do a lot of TV. I play old ladies in drug commercials, and there's not a lot of acting there.
Good for you.
Yeah.
But someone has to.
Exactly.
As long as the check clears. Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Hello. And so this doing stage, doing theater is a completely different experience than doing film or TV. You have to unlearn and relearn, and it's just completely different. But as an actor, I love stage more than anything because the experience is ever changing. People ask how you can be on Broadway and do nine performances or whatever it is a week. Every performance is different, and the audience gives you something, the other actors give you something or don't, and you work with it. Everything is different, and it's so exciting, and it's dangerous, and there's so much to being an actor on stage.
You're on the edge.
On the edge.
And there's also we're just about out of time, but there's that whole thing where we say, like, you look at Beckett or O'Neill, and you think, we don't make them like we used to. But my God, there's some wonderful plays being written, and I would think for you, Nicola. I mean, you look at the theater, and you can be pretty optimistic, actually.
I am. I spend many hours reading plays, many hours, and I've read many plays, and some are wonderful. The new ones that are coming, and they keep coming out. And I try to do in my reading series called Theater Sounds as many different new plays as I can, and occasionally an old chestnut like this one.
Yeah, some good stuff.
Or Importance of Being Earnest, right?
Well, which is also
which is a lovely chestnut.
Great show. Again, Eugene O'Neill's A Moon for the Misbegotten was supposed to end this Sunday. Well, scratch that. They're going to go all the way through March 2nd. So this weekend and next weekend are your chances to see Performing Arts of Woodstock present Eugene O'Neill's classic. And you can find out more information on our website. It's wamc.org/roundtable, wamc.org/roundtable. Nicola and Kimberly, thank you so much for being here. It's a delight to speak to you. I wish you all the best in your work, and thank you for doing the wonderful work in the region.
Thank you. Lovely to be back.
Great pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.